Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another company update, this time from District Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol DMX. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Garrett Ainsworth. Now, District Metals is a base metals exploration company mostly focused in Sweden. The company has three projects in Sweden as well as one other project on Vancouver Island called the Bakar property. Now, we are following up on a news release that came out just yesterday, March 15th, outlining the drill program, or at least first half, let's call it, drill programs at three of these projects. The Tom Tebow project, the Gruvberget project, both of those are in Sweden, and the Bakar project. We'll go through one by one here, Garrett, and get you to summarize what the drill plans are and the main targets. Let's start off with the Tom Tebow property. It says that drilling is going to commence in early April. Remind everybody about the overall size of this drill program first and foremost, please.
All right. Yeah. So we're really excited to get back to Tom Tebow. As you'll probably remember, our last drill results that we released a couple weeks ago from the Steffenberg zone, hole 28, it was 30 meters of about 10.9% zinc equivalent, which is a huge hole in the Bergslagen or, you know, anywhere globally. So we're looking to really concentrate. We're going to be drilling two holes down dip and kind of laterally from the massive sulfide lens at Steffenberg's. You know, they're looking like about 400 meters each. And then we've also got a more regional hole that's going to be stepping out about 665 meters to the northeast from the Tom Tebow mine, and the Steffenberg zone is within the Tom Tebow mine. And this regional hole will be testing a magnetic high anomaly that has a very similar signature to what is associated with the mineralization at the Tom Tebow mine itself. So in total, we're looking at, you know, 1,200 meters, three holes at Tom Tebow, and yes, starting in early April. So I'm looking forward to going over there for that as well.
Well, Garrett, just the three holes, those are rather deeper, you know, at 400 meters apiece. So what are you hoping to hit at depth to test your thesis? And then on that step out hole in that regional target, what could that mean if you hit there? Would you be looking to follow up with the area in between that afterwards? So just maybe give us a sense of what the goals of these three holes are.
Yeah, so the two holes that are going under the Steffenberg zone are being guided by downhole electromagnetic surveys that we did from the phase two drilling. We also got whole rock geochemistry, which has really helped us to pinpoint the fertile horizon where we're finding the massive sulfides. So, you know, using those two tools along with our previous drilling, you know, we're hoping to continue to expand the massive sulfide lens at depth and laterally somewhat. And then, you know, when we do the downhole EM in those holes, that'll really give us further guidance to keep drilling even deeper and to see, you know, what it looks like at depth. Because, yeah, it's very important to kind of step away from your mineralization or else it gets lost in the conductivity of everything that's there. And then in terms of the regional target or the big step out from the Tom Tebow mine, we're going after that mag high. I mean, it's never been tested. There's no outcrop there whatsoever, but it's a long trend from, you know, historic mine that's got some significant polymetallic mineralization, and it's well supported by you know, geophysics. So we're, you know, it's definitely like a grassroots type target, and it's a good target to put in the mix for this drill program.
So Garrett, since it is only three holes, 1,200 meters, and you do outline here that all required permits are valid until the end of 2022, is this just going to be a phased program where this initial 1,200 meters could lead to more drilling after you get the results back this year?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to see what we come up with from this drilling just to kind of confirm our you know, our results that we've previously had, and then just kind of keep going from there. So it will feed into, you know, based on results, we'll feed on to additional drilling.
Okay. Well, let's pivot over to the next project, the Gruvberget project. You've got 1,800 meters set up. Tell us a little bit about this drill program that looks like it kicks off in May.
Yeah, so yeah, permitting's well underway. We'll be getting our drill permit, you know, in April for an early May start. And, you know, we acquired this project last year. And, you know, at the time we acquired it, wasn't really too sure we'd be drilling it at that time. But, you know, as we really delve into the historical data, the drill data, we, you know, something that really stuck out was this north zone at Groove Barrett. And, you know, what it shows is continuous mineralization across 550 meter strike length that goes down to a depth of 160 meters from historical drilling, where 13 out of 15 historical holes hit polymetallic mineralization. It's wide open at depth. And we know these type of deposits are, they'll extend down to 1600 meters as what you see at Garpenberg and at the Zinkgruvan. It's also open partially along strike as well at the north zone. So yeah, we've got 800 meters planned, 10 holes. So they're, you know, relatively shallow, but you know, that's what's so great about this target is that it's wide open and it's still quite shallow at depth. So it's a no-brainer for us to come in here, and has really good potential to put us on a path towards a mineral resource estimate with drilling.
So ballpark, any idea how much more drilling would be needed to get to a resource? Obviously, it depends on the grades, but 10 holes here, a little bit bigger program than at Tom Tebow. What other work would be needed to happen for a resource to come out?
Well, Corey, actually, I mean, even from the 13 holes that have hit mineralization, you know, one could hit the button on a mineral resource there. It wouldn't be gigantic. But, I mean, you could just do simple kind of back of the envelope calculation. I won't do it for anyone. But, I mean, it really depends on what results that we get from this, you know, first maiden drill program. But, I mean, I think it would probably be prudent to release to the public a mineral resource estimate. You know, 5 million tons or more might be a good idea. But, I mean, also the strategy can change as well, and it can be smaller. So it really depends on, you know, where the market's at and, you know, does it look like it's just going to keep going and going and going?
Well, Garrett, I know that Groove Barrett is really a newer project ad for the company, and this is the maiden drill program. Is there any plan after you get some of these drill results back from this maiden pass at the drilling to look at some of the metallurgical work? Because I know you've done some metallurgical work up at Tom Tebow and it came back very promising. Will that be part of the plan here at Groove Barrett?
Not in the maiden drill program, but I mean, yeah, definitely if we find that mineralization is continuing at depth and we're going to head to the path of a mineral resource estimate, then yeah, we'll definitely look at doing the metallurgy. That's pretty important to get it early on. But I mean, one thing about the Bergslagen is it is very well known district for having good metallurgy. And it's two reasons. It's, you know, the whole region has gone through a higher level of metamorphism, so that, you know, it actually ends up making larger sulfide grains, which are easily floated during the mineral processing process. And so you get better recoveries of your metals for that reason. And then also the higher metamorphic grade, it'll actually remove or mobilize some of the deleterious metals like arsenic, antimony, mercury, and in a sense, pretty much clean your ore, because you get that higher grade and the heat and the pressure, it moves the more mobile deleterious metals away. So it's always good to know that, you know, you've got that on your side when you're working in the Bergslagen.
All right, Garrett, let's move over to this Bakar project. This, again, is in Vancouver Island. Drill program here, 800 meters in just two holes. Give us some insights on this drill program, this project, and what you hope to test for these two drill holes.
Yeah, so it's a JV that's 20% district, 80% Sherpa 2 holdings. We're testing the Elephant Crossing target, the EC target. It's one of the best grassroots targets that I've seen. That's a very large, high priority target. And the reason being is because it's got overlapping coincident VTEM anomaly, ZTEM anomaly. It's in the right, you know, structural setting. It's got good mag signature, topographic low, and very, very importantly, it's got outcrop with, you know, outcrop rock samples that are up to 4.1% copper. So, you know, we've had a couple VMS and porphyry experts look at it, and they can't really decide which deposit type it potentially could be. So we just have to drill it to kill it. And, you know, all the beauty of it is we only need, you know, 800 meters to test what it could be. And so, yeah, we're really looking forward to getting our drill permit on it and see what we have there.
Yeah, 4% copper in that rock chip sample is pretty impressive grade for copper, especially since copper made a new all-time high just last week over $5 and still is in the mid-4s at very well-supported price. How do you want people to think of District Metals? Is it more of an energy metals kind of play? Because you have the zinc and the silver and the lead in the Sweden properties, and then you have copper and gold here in the BC property. I mean, how, when you take a larger, you know, big picture view of District Metals, Garrett, how do you want people to think of the company?
As polymetallic. I think that's very important. And it, like, the value, what matters the most in a mining operation is the value, or one of the most important things is the value of the ore. That really drives a lot of decision-making, a lot of, you know, cutoffs and everything. So, and you kind of lose a sense of how valuable the ore is when there's four or five different metals contributing to that value. So, but I mean, that's classic in the Bergslagen. I mean, you've got your silver and your zinc are, you know, very high value within the ore coming out of Garpenberg and Zinkgruvan. The lead is also quite high as well. But then there's also zones that have very high copper and gold as well. So it's putting everything together and realizing, you know, what's the value of your rock and then what's your OPEX to get it out.
All right, Garrett, one final point to touch on here is budget. What is the budget for all three of these drill programs and where does the company stand in terms of money?
Yeah, so budget is about $1.4 million. You know, we're sitting at, I think, about $2.6 million right now. So, you know, by the end of June, we'll have, you know, around $1 million in the treasury. So, yeah, we're sitting in a pretty good position. And hopefully with, you know, we're seeing, you know, the majors perk up nicely due to higher metal prices. It's starting to trickle into the mid tiers. Haven't quite seen it in the juniors, but, you know, it's going to come eventually. So the timing here could be quite good.
All right, Garrett, appreciate the update. And full disclosure, I am a shareholder of District Metals. And if anybody wants any more information on either of these drill programs or anything within the company's portfolio of projects, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you and we will follow up as some more news hits the market. So, Garrett, thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Shad.